No, I got this. Morning. Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. This morning we're going to be reading verses 4 through 10 of 1 Peter 2. However, we're going to be specifically looking at verse 5. Hopefully, my Sunday school class on the temple and the tabernacle recognized these verses. These verses appeared for, what, 5 months? As the first slide starting every class when we were talking about the tabernacle and the temple of God. So hopefully we'll bring back some memories. The text before us this morning is extremely complex. There's an awful lot to it. It's interesting that the author, Peter, was called uneducated, and in some translations, an idiot, in Acts 4, verse 13, given the depth of what we're going to be looking at this morning. In Acts 4:13, we read, "Now when they," it's referring to the Sadducees, "saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus." Looking at these verses, it kind of shows us that although Peter penned this letter, it was our Lord that wrote it. Peter is writing this letter to a group of Christians spread over 100 miles in radius. They are discouraged. They are troubled. They are outcast, belonging neither to the Jewish community or the Roman community. They are being persecuted on account of Christ. Peter describes them as exiles in 1 Peter 1, and those who are going through various trials. In other words, this letter is written to you. Now, we're only going to skim the surface of the meaning of verse 5 this morning. We're going to stay at a very high level. We could do 3-4 sermons around the meaning of these verses. That's how deep these verses are. However, we're going to stay at about a 50,000-foot level. We're going to walk through this fairly quickly. So please listen while we read the infallible, inerrant Word of God. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, 4 through 10. "As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame.' So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected have become the cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people, now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we come before you recognizing that we can no more understand your word than ants could understand textbooks, calculus. But we come to you asking that you interpret your word for us, place it upon our hearts, affect us. We look forward to your grace being poured out upon this congregation, Lord, as the means by which your grace comes to us, the preaching of the word is proclaimed. Lord, bless this time. Prepare us for the week to come that we may honor and glorify you to a lost world. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. It is often said, and actually we've heard this in our own Sunday school, that the church is not made up of a building, but it is the individuals who come into the building to worship the Lord. This morning, I'm going to propose just the opposite of that to you. I'm going to argue that the church is actually a building and not made up of individuals. Indeed, it seems as though the more we think of ourselves as individuals, just me and my God, and the less we think of ourselves as a community of believers, as a single entity, as a temple, the weaker our influence is on the culture. In our text before us this morning, Peter is talking about temple building. The interesting thing about this is the physical temple still exists. Peter is talking about temple building while the brick and mortar temple still stands. The physical, visible temple in Jerusalem still exists and has not yet been torn down, yet Peter is talking about building the temple of God. And this is not just an illustration. Peter is speaking literally about who we are, about our relationship to each other, our relationship to King Jesus, our status before Christ, and our responsibility as a church. In order to understand the meaning of the text before us, we're going to jump back to Genesis. And we're going to briefly walk through redemptive history. I told you, it's going to be at a high level. We're not going to get into details. But we're going to be looking at what God has done up until this point regarding temple building. Temple building starts with the very first verse of the Bible. Genesis 1, verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Here we are reading of God's cosmic temple. The heavens and the earth are the throne room of God. We know this from reading the prophet Isaiah, when in Isaiah 66, the prophet says, "Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What is the house you would build for me, and what is the place of my rest?" We have a picture here of God sitting on his throne in the heavens with his feet resting on earth. This throne room of God is the temple of God, where the presence of His glory shines throughout the entire cosmos. We see this in the Psalms when we sing of the heavens declaring the glory of God. So then further on in Genesis chapters 1 and then in chapters 2, we learn that God created all things in the span of 6 days, all very good, that man, Adam and Eve, were image bearers made in the image of God. They were to be mobile micro temples, where the presence of God resides in them. And wherever they walked with God. This is what Paul is alluding to when he says, our bodies are the temple of the living God. Adam and Eve were placed into the garden sanctuary. Commentators also refer this as the garden temple, for it was the temple of God where He walked with His creation. Again, Adam and Eve were image bearers, bearing the image of the living and true God, and God blessed them and told them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Adam and Eve were to fill the earth with image bearers. Those who are living, mobile, image-bearing micro-temples of God. Adam was the first over all creation at this point. He was given the responsibilities of the first priest-king. As priest, he was to guard the garden sanctuary and not allow anything unclean to enter it. As king, he was to rule over and subdue all of creation. The naming of the animals is an example of a kingly duty. Together, Adam and Eve were to expand the garden sanctuary. They were to expand the garden of God by having children. Procreation. Their children would then have children, and their children's children would then have children, and on until their descendants occupied the entire world. As their descendants continued to increase, more image bearers would fill the earth. They would subdue the wilderness outside of the garden. The garden would expand and fill the entire earth. Eventually, God would walk among His people in the garden sanctuary as it filled the entire world. Adam was engaged in the first temple building project. He was called the Son of God in Luke 3, verse 38, and his descendants would be living, breathing, mobile, micro-temples of God, together making a mammoth people temple made of living stones created from the first living stone, Adam, again occupying the entire world. This is why man was made an image bearer of God, to occupy the entire earth, to subdue the entire earth, and to reflect God's glory across the entire earth. However, when Adam fails to guard the temple by sinning and admitting the unclean serpent into the garden to defile the temple of God, he lost his position as priest-king. Adam and Eve were removed from the garden the presence of God. Angels were placed at the gate entrance to guard the entrance into the garden sanctuary. And a new Adam was needed. A new image bearer of God was needed. A new firstborn over all creation was needed. A new Son of God was needed. So along comes Noah. After the flood, the world was recreated. And Noah became that new Adam figure. Again, he was told, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Genesis 8. And it was repeated in Genesis 9. Then, after Noah, came Israel. After the Exodus, Israel was placed into the Promised Land. A recognized and parallel phrase to what we read in Genesis. Israel is now a new Adam figure, having been placed into the Promised Land by God to purge evil out. The Promised Land is now a new Eden, and Israel's job was to eliminate evil that had invaded the garden sanctuary. Again, Israel failed at the task and embraced evil in the land instead of eliminating it, intermarrying with the Canaanites, worshiping with and changing their worship to please the Canaanites instead of their God. Again, a new Adam is needed. Throughout redemptive history, we see this series of creations, Adams or Adam figures, blessing by God and command to fill the earth, and failures. This cycle continues throughout redemptive history, showing us our total inability to complete the original mandate of God by ourselves to bear the image of God without a Savior. Our total inability to be living micro temples of God without another firstborn over all creation. And our inability to be living stones in a worldwide people temple. Jesus, who is called the last Adam in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45, we read, thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. Jesus is called the image of God and the firstborn over all creation in Colossians 1, verse 15. He is also the true Israel, the true temple of God, John 2, and the cornerstone of a new temple building project, the temple of God. Christ, as the last Adam and true priest-king, perfectly obeyed God's command and expanded the boundaries of the temple as a new creation from himself to his creation. At this point, God's throne is now in the midst of God's people. The tabernacle and the temple of Israel was but an architectural rendering of what the true temple of God would be built and would look like. If you've ever seen a building project of a major complex, the architect first builds a three-dimensional model of what the final building will look like. This allows all parties interested in the construction project to see a small-scale replica of what the building would look like after it is completed. This is what the temple and the tabernacle of Israel was for. It allowed everyone to see a rendering of what God was to build over all the earth through King Jesus. Now that Christ is here, the cornerstone is in place, the true temple building project is formally started, Pentecost. There is no need for the picture anymore. And in 70 AD, God destroyed the temple in Jerusalem. The real has come, there is no need for the picture. Those who are in Christ are descendants of the last Adam. Where the first Adam's descendants lost their ability to truly bear the image of God and became dead rocks, descendants of the last Adam, Christ, bear the image of the living and true God and have become living stones. Related to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. We are a family. In fact, we are blood brothers and sisters. Related together through the blood of Christ. In fact, we are related to each other more then we are related to our biological family that don't know Christ. Because we are all descendants of the true Adam, Jesus. So finally we come to our text this morning. It is important to understand that this is a real temple Peter is referring to. The temple Peter is talking about in our text is real. It is not an example. It is not an allegory. It is real, albeit spiritual. Those who are in Christ are living, breathing, walking, mobile, micro-temples, image bearers of God, participating in a massive people temple building project. And you are part of that. You are stones, living stones of the building. You are a living stone because Christ lives, being built up into a spiritual house. And you participate in this building project. In Exodus 40, verse 33, when the tabernacle was finished, we read, "And he," Moses, it's referring to, "erected the court around the tabernacle and the altar and set up the screen of the gate of the court." So Moses finished the work. Moses, a Christ figure at this point, finished the work of building the tabernacle. However, he had hundreds of people working on his behalf. In Matthew 16, verse 18, an arguable parallel passage, Christ says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." King Jesus will build this cosmic temple, but we have the privilege of laboring with Christ. When we gather together on the Lord's Day for worship, the stones of the temple are strengthened. When you witness the saving message of Jesus to your co-workers or your neighbors, you are participating in temple building. This year, we will help send two of our young people overseas on mission trips. We are not sending them there because we think it would be good for them to experience other cultures. We're not sending them there to learn how to be more tolerant of other people groups. We are sending them on a temple building mission. And we who sponsor them, who help them through prayer, who help them financially, or any other means, are participating in temple building. As disciples of Christ, this is your mission. In Matthew 28, verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you till the end of the age." Just as the first Adam's mission was to make image bearers, your mission is to make image bearers. Just as the first Adam's mission was to build a people temple over all the earth, your mission is to build a people temple over all the earth. We each have both a privilege and a responsibility to build the temple of God. Go and make disciples. We are to take dead rocks and make them living stones through the preaching of the word and the witnessing of the gospel of Christ. And at some point, out there in the future, somewhere, the last stone will be added to the temple. The temple of God will be built. And Christ will come. But until then, be temple builders. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we have your word. We are so thankful for the blessings that you bestow upon us. And we are so thankful that at one point we were dead rocks, but now we are living stones, being built up into a temple of God. Lord, as we go out this week, remind us always that we are a temple of God. Help us to present you well to our neighbors, to our family, to our coworkers. May we honor and glorify you as we go out this week. In Christ's holy and precious name, amen.